Thank you. Again, thanks for joining us this morning. We're in a series called The Pledge, and we're talking about marriage and dating and interesting discussions that are going on. Last week, we talked about the pledge of priority and how God is our number one and our spouse or our date is number two. And we're going to kind of continue with that thought this morning and even review that. But my question this morning is this. How many of you have ever made yourself a fool in the name of love? Raise your hand. Okay. I don't believe you. I believe there are more of you than that. You're just afraid to raise your hand this morning. Shame on you. Let me tell you a story where I made a fool of myself for love, one of many, many times that I've done this. But I was at a 16-year-old girl's birthday party. I worked with her mom at Johnson Bible College. It was now Johnson University. And I was a short order cook, and the mom liked me, so she invited me to her daughter's 16th birthday. And I was like 21, 22 at the time, and she wanted me to date her daughter. Well, that wasn't going to happen. But I did, we went roller skating, believe it or not, after that. And yes, people still roller skate. And I met this gal named Stacy Huffman while I was roller skating. And I was like, hey, she is like, I'm interested. And so I invited her out on a date, and we went to the steakhouse in Knoxville, Tennessee, called Quincy's. And as we were going in, she said, what's good? And I said, the filet mignon is good. And so she ordered it, and I was broke. I only had like $35 on me. And I'd already invited her to dinner and a movie. And I don't know if I've told this story before or not, but so we went out, and I ordered the cheapest meal on the menu, thanks to that filet. And I knew I was in trouble, but I didn't know how much trouble because I was oblivious at that point. And so when we walked up to the ticket counter at the movie theater, I all of a sudden realized, and I got this, you know, blood, you know, terrible headache. I mean, panic attack. I never walked up to a ticket counter in my life wanting to impress a girl and not knowing how much money I had. And it was so long ago that the tickets were only $8 for the two of us. And I knew my destiny in that moment was when I reached for that wallet, it was a moment of truth. And by the grace of God, no lie, there was a 5 and 3 ones. Or I would have been married to someone else today. I'm not lying. It would have been total humiliation in that moment. So we walked in, and I have this screaming headache going on, and I look at her and say, would you like some refreshments? Yeah, I wasn't very bright. But I thought, after you ate all that, surely you can't be hungry. And so that's how the kind of story of where we first started in our relationship. But we've all made fools out of ourselves for the sake of love. We've either probably, back in the day when there were landlines and long distance, maybe we talked longer than we should and had several $100 long distance calls. I don't know if you know what those are like, but I had those, did you? Or maybe you talked all night on a hood of a car with that person that you were in love or infatuated with, or maybe you've driven hundreds and thousands of miles just to spend a short period of time, like a half hour or an hour, for that beloved. Something like that. You have made yourself a fool for love. And something to go along with that is this. By nature, we pursue what we don't have. By nature, don't we? If we don't have it and we want it, we pursue it. And we pay the price for that. We make the sacrifice. And so today, the pledge is about pursuit. And then you look at that partner maybe sitting next to you, and I was talking to a married couple today, and the guy said, "My ribs are bruised enough." But you look and you say, "What happened? Why aren't we this way anymore? What happened to our relationship?" And we're going to review that this morning, because there's this danger that we can take one another for granted. And that's very, very dangerous in a relationship. And that brings me to the next question. Can we be lazy in any area of our lives and still improve? Can you be lazy in the area of physical health and exercise and improve? And the answer is no. Can we be, we're just at the point, maybe you've already mowed your grass, but maybe you haven't. Can you be lazy in response to your lawn and still have a beautiful, wonderful lawn? I can't hear you. Oh, thank you. Okay, you're still there. No, I've got to pick up the sticks, I've got to hoe the weeds, I've got to get the grass ready to be cut, and then I've got to take care of it. I might even have to water my lawn. So if the grass is greener on the other side, what do you need to do? You need to water your lawn. You may need to fertilize it. You may need to put some weed prevention on it, especially this time of year. And that brings us to the first pledge, which I want you to repeat after me. Hear the words, repeat after me. I promise that God will be my first priority, and my spouse will be my second. That was last week's message. This week's message is this, the second pledge. And I want you to repeat after me. Even if you're dating someone, I want you to repeat after me this pledge. I promise to always to always pursue my two. And that brings us to the same passage of Scripture that we looked at last week in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Last week we talked about leaving. This week we're going to be talking about holding fast, and if you're a King James Version only type of person, it will say cleave. But in this moment, this hold fast or this cleave, the root word is from Hebrew, and it's pronounced dabak, and it means to cling or adhere, to catch by pursuit, to pursue hard with affection and devotion. So it's the idea of pursuing, and we're going to look at some scriptures to look at this from three different angles, three different meanings of this same word. Psalms 63:8 says, "My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me." So it's the idea of clinging to one another. In Job 41:17, it says, "They are joined one to another." And the idea here is joining. They clasp each other and cannot be separated. Now, the idea of joining is the same root, dabak, but the idea of clasping in this passage is not the same. So they're different in that moment. And then Judges 20:45, and this is kind of a military thing that's going on, "And they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, and 5,000 men of them were cut down in the highway, and they were pursued hard." The idea of pursuing hard is this idea of holding fast to get them, and 2,000 men of them were struck down. Now, in some of your translations, it might say that they followed closely, and that's kind of stalkerish. It's kind of that stalker weird idea, only in this passage, the idea is pursuing hard someone that wants to be pursued. That brings us to one of the love stories I like in Scripture. There's more than one, but it's the story of Jacob and Rachel. Remember, Jacob's name means usurper, or someone who undercuts. And his brother was Esau. And remember, they were Isaac's sons, Jacob and Esau. And Esau was born first, but Jacob took his birthright and his inheritance away from Esau. And then as Isaac was dying, Esau threatens Jacob's life, so his mom, their mom, Rebecca, sent Jacob off to her cousin, or their brother, her brother, some relative named Laban, in from where they were from, just to cut the story short. So Jacob shows up, and they're watering animals, and they can't water them, and he checks out this girl named Rachel, and she was wonderfully formed. Guys, you know what that means. She was attractive. She was beautiful. And so the relationship developed, and Jacob said, I want Rachel to be my wife, and negotiated with Laban. And he had to work for her for 7 years. Now, some of you guys probably had to work pretty hard for your date or for your spouse, but probably you didn't have to work 7 years. But Jacob loved her so much, that just seemed like a short period of time. It just went so fast. And so their wedding date approached, and they had the wedding, and they had the wedding party, and lo and behold, he didn't marry Rachel. But he ended up marrying his sister, Leah, who the Bible describes as weak-eyed. Weak-eyed. That meant she wore glasses. But what that really meant was she was not as wonderfully formed as Rachel. And so Jacob said to Laban, hey, what happened? You pulled a switcheroo. I'm not happy about this. And Laban said, I want to make you a deal, because it's not our custom to marry off the younger before the older, and Leah was older, so you can work 7 more years for Rachel. And Jacob said, and I'm seeing a nod from one of our young men, absolutely, I will work for her. And so Laban gave Rachel to Jacob before he had earned her that next 7 years. And so the idea here that I want you to walk away from, your take home away from this, is this: that God wants us to continue to pursue our number two after we already have them. You see, Jacob already had Rachel, and he still worked for her and pursued her and didn't mind that next 7 years, believe it or not. And you might say, well, that's crazy, Chris. And I would say, absolutely. Don't get in a deal with Laban. But because he loved her, he was willing to do that. Now, if you're dating right now, I just want to give you a word of caution. If you're dating someone right now, boy or girl, and you're pursuing them more than they are pursuing you, and there's not any pursuit on their part, I think you ought to stop and think about that relationship. I really think you ought to hear a word of caution. If you're a guy and you're pursuing her, and she's not giving you the wink, or she's not writing you that note, or saying, you are really cute, even though you're a bonehead. If you're not getting that affirmation, then you need to stop and think about this relationship. Now, if you're a girl and you're doing all the work and you're kind of running the relationship and he's not showing any interest or any pursuit in this relationship, you need to stop and think about this. If he's not taking you out on dates, and if he's not spending any money on you, and you are worth pursuing, ladies. You are worth it. And so just hear that as a word of caution. Now we'll get really practical with you. this morning, and I want to close the gap between good intentions and actions today. And I want to look at some principles this morning as we're going to wrap this up. So the first one is this. If you think something good, if you think something good, say it. If you think something good, say it. That's pretty simple. It's like catching somebody doing something right. When you see them doing something nice or kind or polite or good, just say, hey, that was good. You did a good job. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It says, but exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This exhort word means to encourage, to inspire. And so this is kind of a sub-point under this. Gentlemen, pursue her with words of affection. Pursue her with words of affection. And I just want to caution you, I am saying don't use words of sexual affection. Use words of non-sexual affection. Let me say that again. You might not have ever heard these words ever put together like this before. Okay. Use words of non-sexual affection. Because, you know, guys, we have this ability. And maybe you don't realize it, but you have this ability. Like, if her tires need to be rotated, you can say that in a very sexualized way. I'll rotate your tires. Or, hey, maybe the grass needs mowed. I'll mow your grass in a sexual way. Or I'll pull your weeds. Anything like that. Do this in a non-sexual way. And you can do this by saying, I love you because. I love you because you're my best friend. I love you because you've lived with me for 34 years and I'm still a bonehead and you still love me. I can say, I love you because you affirm me. I love you. Whatever you start with, do it from a non-sexual way to encourage her. Now, ladies, here's something you can do. Pursue him with words of affirmation. Pursue him with words of affirmation. When you want to criticize, instead of criticizing, affirm him. This will change the game. Even if he's thinking in the right direction, affirm him. Maybe he's not a prayer, and at Thanksgiving he prayed, God is good, God is great. Now let us thank him for our food. By your hands, we all are fed. Thank you, God, for the daily bread. You can say, and you can even whisper this, that was really good. That really inspired me. You might think, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Well, just a little bit of encouragement goes a long way in making a change for him, because he is becoming what you see in him. He is becoming what you see in him. I've got to tell you, my wife is not really super critical of me. She affirms me a lot. In fact, she's very non-critical. In fact, as I started preaching, I would say, what did I do wrong today? And she wouldn't come up with anything, and I had to go to other people to find out how bad I did. I really, really did, because she's just very, very affirming, and that's made me very secure and much more confident in what I do. And ladies, that's super important. You see, you want to know, do you love me today? That's what you want to know. Do you love me today? Well, I told you I love you yesterday. No, do you love me today? And why do you love me? And for the guys, we want to know, do you believe in me today? And it has to do with that love and respect thing. Do you believe in me today? today. So critical to our development in a marriage. And we've all heard the statistic where if there's more negative comments and more negative words and more critical comments and they outweigh the positives, there's a higher rate of divorce. It's just that dangerous. Now, the second principle I want to look at this morning is this. When you think something special, do it. You think something special, do it. You think, go out on a date, go to a movie, do it. If you think that she really likes this concert, then buy the tickets and go to that concert. If he likes something and you don't like something and you think that would encourage him, then do it. And it comes from James chapter 4, verse 17, and that says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So when you think something special, do it. It doesn't have to be anything expensive. It could be a flower out of your yard. It could be a dandelion. It could be anything. But doing something special to show that pursuit. And number three, when you want something different, be it. If you want something different, be it. I learned this from my dad. My dad was not a man of many words. He'd never got in trouble very often for ever saying anything wrong. I mean, he was just, he did a good job being a husband. I'm a lousy husband, but he did a good job. And I can remember growing up, I would have had to been like fifth, sixth, or seventh grade. And every once in a while, my mom would leave the vacuum cleaner out. And that kind of meant she'd been cleaning. But when the vacuum cleaner was out, my dad would come home. And he was an industrial mechanic. He worked hard all day, every day. It was a tough environment. It was a nasty environment. But he was a consistent worker like clockwork. He did his job. But he would come home, and if he saw a vacuum cleaner out, you know what he'd do? He'd vacuum the floor, not say one word. Vacuum floor. And I watched this over and over again. My mom would get so mad because he'd do that. And it was like he was telling her that she didn't do the job. He was telling her, what he was trying to tell her is, if you need some help, I will help you. And he wasn't complaining. And in that moment, I learned that if I wanted something different, then I had to do that. Just shut up and do whatever it took. If there were dishes not done, if something needed to be dusted and it was bugging me, if the floor needed to be vacuumed, just do it. Don't fight over it. Don't get in those cyclical fights over and over again that you know you get into. Just be the difference. Don't blame them. Take on the responsibility yourself. Just do what you need to do because you can't control them, that other person. You just can't. Now, in closing, I want to say this. Women are multipliers. Women are multipliers. I love my wife, and she gave me children. I love my wife. I gave her a house, and she made it a home. Now, if I give my wife a hard time, you know what happens? It's like living from down below. Because she multiplies. So if you don't like what you're getting, change what you're doing. Step back and think. To get what you've never had, you must do what you've never done. Doesn't that make sense? To get what you've never had, you've got to do what you've never done. And that's on you and no one else. It's on me and no one else. I've got to take responsibility. To get what you once had, you must do what you once did. And that is pursue your spouse. Can you have a great marriage? Absolutely. Can you have a great dating relationship? Absolutely. But you have to go back to where you were and pursue like you did. It's just that simple. Now, the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, and he addressed the church in Ephesus, and this is a principle, and it wasn't directly related to marriage, but I think it fits. It says, Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Do the works, do what you did from the beginning, and start from there. Will you please stand as I close in prayer? Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for our relationships, all the different relationships that we have, Lord. May we pursue one another with affirmation, with kindness, with truth, and love, but Father, also to do what we need to do to pursue those that we love. Father, we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you got to be a Christian. You got to be a Christian to put God number one in your life. You need his help. Will you come this morning?